Star Market Celtics tonight continues from Atlanta. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Nothing I know that you like better than it's not really a hypothetical so much as an abstraction. So I'm going to hit it with you first and then kind of back up a little bit so you can ponder what your very clever response to this is going to be. The topic is going to be, when is a trend a trend? And the reason I'm bringing it up is you had that film session 2 weeks ago after the Milwaukee game, before the Laker game, after Phoenix and before the Laker game. And since that time, the numbers, all the advanced metrics, whatever they are, you are one of, if not the best teams in the league. Is there enough to draw a correlation between those two things? And is 2 weeks enough to say, hey, this was a good run of games? Does this qualify as a trend?
So it's small sample size if things aren't going well for you, and it's clearly, you know, positive trend if they are. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Well, I think the issue is because obviously, as you well know, you can
call like skewing the numbers.
Well, obviously, every number can be skewed any which way that you want it, and the question is
something to talk about.
Well, and I think
I don't know what it is. It's just we've played seven games. We've been fortunate to win six. We played pretty well together. I think that sometimes all that stuff gets overblown, and I do think that we've been very aggressive on the defensive end of the floor, and it's led to opportunities on offense. And I just think there's a mindset there that then, you know, you continues with your offense. You know, that when you're more aggressive, when you're thinking about things that you can control, the ball tends to go in more because you're not concerned about all that stuff. You know, you're just concerned about doing the things that you have to do to compete and ultimately be successful. I do think that, and I said this before the Lakers game, you know, that was the Lakers game was the first time we looked fresh in a while. You know, I think that we've done a pretty good job throughout this stretch of feeling good, even though we've been playing every other day. Our guys have done a good job of taking care of themselves. And, you know, our off days are the days in between. We're not doing very much. You know, right now it's like you're just trying to get to game day.
And it's been a different look, obviously, a lot of nights. And this will be another one here tonight without – you haven't had a game without Kemba and Marcus Smart at the same time.
We haven't? Is that right?
Well, you know what? It has probably been every combination of games between the two. But now, all of a sudden, obviously, Tremont Waters is here, and he's going to play a lot. So before we get to the combinations of players you have and haven't had this
he
year.
He is.
Hey, right. I'm going actually, I am drawing that into conclusion. Okay. I'm saying we're going to see him. At the very least.
Well, you haven't. Emailed me the minute sheet for tonight.
The only thing I can control is whether or not we discuss him right now, which we're going to. Whether or not you, out of spite, don't play him just because
control,
I brought him up.
I would control what you can control.
Right. That's exactly what I'm doing here. So whether or not out of spite you decide not to play him a single minute just to prove
It would not be. This has no impact on whether he plays or not.
I can't believe that this segment doesn't have impact on how the game goes.
No, some of your analytics are off the charts.
I know they are. Yeah, literally off the chart.
Yeah.
The question is, the games that he's playing in Maine and the correlation here between these two games, how much are you truly able to monitor what he's doing?
Yeah.
What is the communication with you and Darren Erman, who's coaching there, about not just Tremont, but everybody that's there that could theoretically be back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, it's really regular. Now, these stretches are tough because, like, you know, you're just getting ready for the next game, and their games are coming day after day, and so it's hard to pay as much attention as you'd like to. But we have, you know, all of our assistants that have people that are assigned up there watch every game. They watch the practices. They talk to Erm regularly. They talk to Alex Barlow regularly. And so that we know we have a pulse on them. And I think the one position that probably translates best from the G League to the NBA is the point guard, because they do a lot of the same things. You know, sometimes on the wings, with the lack of size in the G League, it feels much different when you get against NBA length. Sometimes in the interior, same thing. But the point guards are still running the thing. They're still organizing everybody. They're still the ones that are usually playing off the main action. So it's not a huge surprise. This is not like when he comes up, we try to simplify our actions for him. And, you know, we don't do a ton of stuff that he's not very, very familiar with.
All right, before we get to the Hawks, this is the annual question. It's just a matter of when I choose to insert it. I don't think even casual fans realize, even a hardcore fan realizes that the trade deadline has moved up and that we're just a couple of days out now from it. So every year I ask you the following question. What do you want to know as this week goes on? What do you want to contribute? And is there advantage to not knowing every little thing that may or may not be happening this week?
No, I mean, this is the week that I'm always pretty well in the know. Now, I'm not involved in every conversation. I mean, I'm not like calling every team and, you know, all that stuff. I don't do any of that. Our front office handles all that, and then they come back with what's going on around the league, what's going on with opportunities for us. I mean, obviously, we've got a lot to balance and manage here. We've got a good team, and we've got, obviously, a bunch of good players, and, you know, it's a fine line, and, you know, it's interesting. I don't think we've done a trade deadline deal since my second year.
Right.
We got Isaiah and Jerebko and Datome all in that last 10 minutes of the trade deadline. And I remember that like it was yesterday, but every year it's come and gone without us doing anything since. So a lot of discussions that end up much ado about nothing. And then on the rare occasion, there is something happening.
The first time we saw the Hawks, obviously, oftentimes when we see a team that does not have a lot of wins, I'll often position it as, what are they doing well? What are they doing when they are dangerous? But firsthand, we know, because before that game was about 10 minutes old, they had thrown a whole bunch of punches, and they were almost up by 20 in the first quarter.
They played way harder than we did at the start of that game. They got on top of us. They were tough. They were physical. They're big and long. They're athletic. They've got a ton of top 10 picks, you know, running around the court. And so, like, that's part of it. You've got to be ready to handle that. And the other reality is that they're 10 and 15 with Collins. And so Collins is the difference, right? So everybody talked about, and rightfully so, Atlanta's a possible or probable playoff team entering the season. And with Collins, they've been right in that mix.
And what's interesting about, obviously, Collins is great, and Trae Young does what Trae Young does. In this age of the high pick and roll, and you run so much of that. Now, it's not just here. It's everywhere throughout the course of the league.
Is it enough for you?
I'll check my analytics and get back to you because I know they're off the chart.
Thank you.
You know what? Just because once in a while, I try to throw a little.
Draymond's going to play so much, so he's going to run it a lot. But who else would run it?
You know, I try once to bring a little Jared Weiss, like X's and O's geekness into this conversation, and I'm just brutally attacked for it.
I didn't. There was no attack. You just told me who was playing, so I figured now we're going to call the action.
By the way, it's an interesting spin. I said no such thing. I simply wanted to
always,
talk about
here's
him.
What you should wait to do. You should wait to call who plays and who should have played and what action should have been if we don't play well. That's what you should do.
Right.
That's the way to do it.
Well, I'll tell you, just for tonight, if you'd be
just like my kids and everybody else.
If you glance up, I'm going to do the hand signals to call
okay.
plays from
how
up
far
here.
Up are
and
you?
It's too far, but you'll know it's there. Okay. I'm sure you'll feel it. I suppose the question that you have, again, tried unsuccessfully to knock me off the skis from is about how Trae Young and Collins run that together, because they're almost like the 2020 version of that action in the NBA because they're both so skilled at that particular action.
The biggest problem is a lot of teams try to direct the ball in pick and roll, and I know this is boring, but if you change your body position against Trae Young, he's automatically taking advantage of it. He has such an unbelievable reaction to that. And if you get above Collins ever, or he can get behind you, you're dead because he's faster than everybody else to the rim. I think he's the best roller in the league. If not, he's one of them. And his ability to get from the top of the key to the front of the rim and catch it over the top of people at his height is really incredible.
That's the head coach. Do you want to use me as your personal punching bag some more? Or
I thought you were the head coach.
My goodness, what a spin you put on that. I try to be engaging for once.
We need to do some stuff off the air if you're going to have all this information for me.
Well, all I said, go back and we're going to have to play this tape again. All I said is Tremont Waters.
Hey, who should I start, by the way?
You know what? The only reason we care about who you start is so we can play our fancy thing at the start of the game.
But I'm waiting for you to tell me.
Oh, my goodness. This is just brutal.
Who you got?
By the way, all this contact going on with you in the front office, do you have like one of those group chat things going?
I don't have a cell phone that texts.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to do a
I don't do. I don't love the group chat thing, so no. I don't do group chats.
Just do it by, like, scroll or something, like Harry Potter.
Yeah, here's what would happen if I was in one of those group chats. Then I would end up with, after the game, when I haven't played the guys that you want to play enough haven't run enough high pick and roll, I would get on the front office group chat, and they'd be killing me too. So I'd have to deal with that. So, like, no, I just got to put my blinders on, I guess.
You know what? One of these days you're going to have a long day leading up to the game, and I will be fresh, and it'll be the opposite of tonight, and we'll see how it turns out.
All right, just send me those signals, will you? Do your job.
Celtics and Hawks next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.